Hey, so I started recording way too early.
Okay.
So there's some dead air at the beginning of this. Shout out to Stephen McCandless.
Hey.
Hey. Also, Betty can't find her phone. Okay, she's found her phone. Never mind. I was concerned that she would be coming in and out looking for it. So.
I am constantly amazed at how young kids are these days who get cell phones. My nephews have cell phones.
How old are your nephews?
One is 14, the other is 11.
Ah, see, Betty is going to be 11, and this I should point out, it's not actually, we call it her phone, quote unquote, but it's actually one of our old iPhones that has the stuff wiped off of the it has no cell plan. It's just,
Right. It's basically
thing,
like
so.
an iPod Touch.
Yeah, basically, exactly.
Yeah.
Like one. So there you go. Shout
Yeah.
out to Apple.
But
How's it
still, you
going?
know, it still can access all the internet via the Wi-Fi.
Indeed. Yep. She knows about stuff I have. It's great because I could ask her, hey, do you know about this? And sometimes she'll know about it, sometimes she won't know about it. And it's just luck of the draw, the stuff that she's like, she's surprised sometimes when I know stuff that's like pop culture from our era.
She
You
surprised
know,
when you know
I'm
pop
using
culture
this
from
as,
our era?
yeah, like I'll use an example. This is not something that she said to me, but she might say something like, Dad, you know about the Humpty Dance? And I'll be like, yes, I know about the Humpty Dance. How do you know about the Humpty Dance? And not like, how do you know about this? This is secret adult stuff, but
Right.
just how do you know about this stuff from the, and
Well,
it makes sense because, you know, the classic rock when we were growing up
yeah.
was a thing, and it was like 10 years old at the time, but we didn't know that, or, you know, however long.
But there was always
You know,
that impulse of a parent to ask their child, how do you know about that? When there comes a point in every parent's life when their children just like go off to school and learn things. But it's different now because kids have the internet and they have the world's knowledge in their pocket. Whereas when I learned something in school and my mom was like, how did you hear about how do you know about that? I had to you know, I'd be like, I don't know, I heard
yeah.
it somewhere. And not I
There was a
saw it
guy
on the
in the
internet.
alley and he lured me in there and he told
Exactly.
me all about Fog Hat
By the way,
or whatever.
here's the $25 he gave me. So.
Exactly. Oh, all right, so here we go. For those of you who are first time listeners, why did you start with this episode? That's weird. Probably good though, because I'm guessing that it's probably the best episode. We keep getting better every single time.
Every single time.
But
Well, we have so much to talk about.
Ben and I don't have, you know, a theme. Lots of podcasts are about a certain theme.
We've tried
We don't
themes.
have that.
We've tried them in the
What's that?
past. We've tried themes
We've
in the
tried them in the
past.
past. They don't work that well. We have a shtick, and our shtick is that we do not use our phones to look up information or computers or whatever while we're talking.
Right, we
That's the shtick that we don't follow a lot.
spout knowledge. We're spitting knowledge on the floor, but we don't bother
We
to
are
learn on whether or not it's right or wrong.
planning for when the internet goes away and we have to rely on our brains again to think.
Yeah.
I suggest you at home do it as well. Try to remember something. It's pretty funny,
Play along. Get
how
it
hard it
wrong.
is. Yeah, play along, get it wrong. Ben, there you go. That's the slogan. So yeah, but lots of stuff to talk about today. Pretty
Oh my God, it's a new f it's a Oh, I think he just hung up on
okay.
me. Oh, no. Oh, I'm getting a
No, I'm
call.
still here.
Okay,
Yeah. What? You're getting a
I'm getting
call?
a
Who is
call
it?
for it's a I bet you anything it's a sales call. You want me to answer it?
Can you answer it and keep me online at the same
I'm
time?
trying to there
Okay,
it, there's
let's
either
do it. Let's see what
no,
happens.
too late. They ended. It was
Oh,
either
that's too bad.
end accept, so end call with you or hold the call with you and accept. I couldn't
Yeah.
conference. Well, I think once if I put you on hold and accepted it, I could have conferenced you in.
Yeah, that would have been
I
great.
get a lot of I've already gotten one today. I just get these stupid sales calls.
So we should at some point in time conference somebody in and just talk to them for a little bit in a segment I like to call "This Was a Bad Idea." two people who you and I have gotten into a pretty good groove of no, you talk, no, I'll talk. Like we can kind of do it. Add one other person; it's really kind of difficult. Shout out to Jeff Soul. Jeff, if you're listening, I still haven't listened to your CD yet. I will. I promise. I feel so bad about not doing it. It's because I know that it's good music.
Is it his CD? Like he created it? He made the music on
it? Yeah. He's a great musician. He's a wonderful musician. And he gave me a CD of his, of new music he was working on. And I have not listened to it because this is the only reason the CD player in my car doesn't work. And therefore, that's when I listen to music, when I'm in my car. So it's
Do you not have a CD player inside your home? Like the PS4 can play CDs, right?
Right, exactly. That's the thing. But I'm, when I'm home, I'm doing other stuff.
Yeah.
It's my listening to music time is the other thing is that I don't pair my phone with my wife's computer, which is the only place that I could get that onto my phone. It's all dumb. It's all, you know, silly.
You see, I mean, you are the creator of your own folly. But the thing about music is that you can do other things and still listen to music. Gone are the days when you buy an album and you sit down, you play the album, and then you spend the time reading everything on the album and looking through the album art.
Right, and because that is something. That's a pretty nice thing. I still have an idea of a medium that doesn't exist yet that I'm still trying to make. The language is part of it, and I'm working on that still. The thing that I'm doing differently is I'm making the language have an internal consistency, which is harder than you might think because, you know, normally they kind of work organically out. You could do it by math.
You're
going
to have to back up and start again. What are you talking about?
The language. I haven't told you about that. Oh, maybe I haven't.
No. fill us in.
Yeah. I'm making a language. A new language.
You're making a new language.
Yeah.
From scratch.
I know what you're talking about. I mean, I know what you're thinking. It Paul, isn't the idea of a language to communicate with other people? Why would you be making a language that's just for you?
Oh, yeah. You speak the truth.
And I understand that. But if you remember, I used to do this a little bit, or try to do this a little bit, back in Seattle, too. But I've actually
tried to create a new language. I don't remember you trying to create new languages. I remember you making up words and songs, but that's pretty divorced from creating a whole new language.
Oh yeah. So, but I'm doing that now, and it's working out pretty well. It's actually.
Oh yeah,
give us, heard of the Shaver?
Give us some examples of vocabulary and sentence structure.
Well, I can't right now, Ben.
It's a secret
because
language.
It's still in flux. It's still in flux. That's the problem. I can say that the word for ball... It's based a little bit on English.
Your
the
language
word for
is...
ball is ball. B-O-L.
Okay.
So there you go.
Language is fluid.
That's one little bit.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah. But no, I can tell you... Well, I can tell you a couple things. Hey, what's that comic where it's stick figures but very smart ideas?
XKCD.
XKCD. The guy who wrote that,
Randall,
has a book called Thing Explainer.
Okay.
Where he talks about stuff using only 1,000 words, or as he says in the book, the 1,000 most popular words, 1,000 being 1,000.
Right.
But 1,000 isn't one of the 1,000 most popular words. So, you know, you get the idea. He's explaining these concepts. So I said, all right, I'm going to make a language that has only 1,000 words, but the position of the words is going to change their meanings a little bit.
The position, you're creating a grammar as well?
I'm creating a grammar, a syntax, a language, new symbols for them. And then, but the concept is that Like, for instance, this is an example I'll just give you. An adverb and an adjective, right?
Yeah.
If your adjective modifies a noun, an adverb modifies a verb, you know, you could theoretically, and this is what I'm doing, make it so that the adjective and the adverb are the same word. It's just an adjective if you put it after the noun, and an adverb if you put it after the verb. After, you say? Yes, after, because that's the other thing about this syntax, is that the thing itself is first, and then the descriptor alters that. So, yeah. For instance, instead of saying a yellow dog, right, you would say a dog, yellow, so that when you hear dog, you think a dog, and then you think yellow right afterwards. Yellow dog.
Well, I'm no linguist, but I'm pretty sure that syntax exists in other languages.
Oh, sure, I'm positive. But the thing that's really inspiring what I'm writing is a screenplay. That's kind of what this language is sort of based on.
Are you writing the screenplay completely in that language?
No. What I mean is that the language itself operates kind of like a screenplay operates. The first like part of the sentence gives you the visual setting, if you will, visual and temporal setting. So for instance, like if I'm talking to you, we sort of do it in English too. You say, so I was walking down the street the other day, right?
Right.
The other day walking down the street. But the idea would be that there's a word for the other day. There's a word for walking down the street. So you'd say those two words first. You've set the setting, right? That's where you are. And at that point, you're no longer worried about verb tense because you know where in space and time you are. Right?
You know it, but is it translatable to somebody understanding what you're talking about? Because there's a lot of different ways you can set a scene in a single sentence.
Well, yeah. I mean, the idea is that you, when you learn the language, you also learn how to understand it. You're not just learning the vocabulary, but you're actually learning how to use it as well. And I think that's a big part
of
it.
So is this just to kill your time, or are you doing this for some sort of artistic purpose?
That's a little project I'm working on. You know, I don't care about making money off of art anymore, so I'm making it weird and complicated.
Weird and complicated, yeah.
Yeah,
sounds apt.
You know. Oh, yeah, speaking about which, Ben.
Paul.
As you know, the Gong Show coming back.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. The Gong Show's coming back, and they want acts to perform at the Gong Show. And I was thinking, of course, if I were still in Seattle... Goody Lawrence would audition for the Gong Show.
The Gong Show, and it would
because I think really that is our preferred medium.
Yeah, and it would actually be a test to see how quickly we can get gonged off.
Exactly, that is exactly what it would be.
Yeah.
But Will Arnett is hosting it.
Oh, good.
Which is cool. Because he's a guy.
He is a guy.
Yeah, because if he didn't exist and he was the host, that would be messed up.
So he does the voice of one of my favorite Netflix cartoons, BoJack Horseman. Have you seen BoJack Horseman?
Oh, yes, BoJack Horseman.
BoJack is
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say BoJack is a great show to make you feel better about yourself. And I saw because BoJack is a pretty screwed up horse, but also there's Will Arnett does the voice of Batman. In the Lego Batman movie.
He does.
And I cannot not hear BoJack when I see his Batman.
That is funny. Wait, so the Lego Batman movie is out now?
I saw a trailer. Done? I don't know when it comes out, but I saw a trailer for it.
Because, obviously the Lego movie had Batman in it, and I saw that they were going to make a movie with just Batman, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, he must have done the voice of Batman in the Lego movie.
Can I tell you one of my favorite things about BoJack Horseman?
Bring it.
It's the running gag about the
Hollywood sign,
the cake and the signs where it says, you know, just say happy birthday, Cheryl. How hard is this to that thing?
Yeah.
I love it so much because that was
why is this
you
so
and
hard?
I had a little thing like that we enjoyed to do also, which was, of course, you remember the idea of registering websites with difficult names.
Oh, yeah.
Which turned into our joke, Ben's email.
Ben's email@yahoo.com, which we haven't mentioned in a while. And
We haven't.
Probably,
that's right.
Explains why nobody has emailed us.
Has anyone ever emailed us at that address?
Yes, people have emailed us.
Wait, what? Who?
Jennifer and
that's right.
And Blair. Both of those lovely ladies have emailed Ben's email
yahoo.com. The two women with whom we are romantically involved have used that email address, and that's it.
That's all.
Great.
That's all. I think I've received some spam on it. But
we should read that spam at some point in time.
Yeah, it would be great. It's just like that that call I got.
Shows that I have not seen. I haven't watched Man of the High Castle, the second season. Haven't watched it yet because we're living it. Am I right? Hey, no.
I'm afraid you're right, but I have not. I haven't seen it. It's about modern day Nazis. Yeah. Am I correct?
No, and yes. It is about
like if
Man of the High.
Alternative historical fiction. I guess historical fiction
is correct.
Alternative.
Yes.
Like if Germany had won the war, is that sort of the?
Well, Germany and Japan won the war, and then they split the United States down the middle. Kind of is the plan with it.
Okay.
So and the first one was pretty good. I am known to not enjoy Amazon's original programming. I've thought that it is bad. In the past, however, it consistently has started to get better. I thought Man in the High Castle was pretty good. I loved the Tick pilot, that got picked up for a full thing, so that should be good. And I also liked Sneaky Pete, which is now a full thing.
Yeah, I've heard of Sneaky Pete. It's got Bryan Cranston in it, right? I've been told
I
should watch
and
it.
It also has.
I've not been too thrilled.
Giovanni Ribisi is also in it.
Right, Giovanni Ribisi,
who doesn't seem to age, really. I've noticed this.
The only Amazon original show I have watched so far is The Grand Tour. The top tier kids.
That one can't be that bad, I figure.
Well, I gotta tell you, it's I'm on episode like 7 now, and it is.
You're
it
on
is,
episode 7? Oh, Ben, congratulations. I know that you enjoyed the
it
show.
It is getting better. The first I did look up some critiques of the show, and everybody who watches the show has sort of the same gripes with it that I do. At the same time, these people are like, well, you know, it gets better. Just stick with it. So that's kind of comforting.
So the way that I figured it out, or the way I sort of thought it worked, is that maybe the people at Amazon, the executives or whatever, had too much control over the shows. And I don't know if that's true or not, but there was a specific thing that they would do, which, you know, there's HBO, right?
Yeah.
Is really good at doing, like, dirty stuff.
Right.
Oh, this is risque, and it really is risque. And it's really... Amazon had this thing called Hand of God, which I tried watching. I couldn't get through it because all the stuff that was supposed to be, like, adult was weird and gross lots of times.
Was this an HBO show?
No. It was an Amazon original show.
Sorry, my email's blown up with work, so I'm kind of distracted right now.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not reading the email. I'm just seeing all the notifications come in on my computer.
And it's also like when a network, and I'm not going to name any specific networks, But when a network, one of the big three, you know,
yeah,
any of them really, try to do something where, oh, this is a party where bad things are happening, it just gets kind of laughable and weird because of all the censorship that they have to kind of get past.
Right, there's a limitation of what they can show.
Yeah. That lady is smelling a mirror, or whatever. Because you can't actually show drugs.
Yeah.
So, you know.
They've gotten better about it in these last few years. Probably in the past decade, I'd say.
Well, I mean, like, Hannibal, for instance, was great.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, they had somebody in Brian Fuller who didn't try to do anything that he couldn't do. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, if there was no way to show a certain thing, they just didn't do that. They did something else.
I gotcha. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. They wrote for the show that they had.
Exactly. And that's kind of what you have to do, in my opinion. I'm watching Emerald City right now. I actually bought it so I could watch it. Because I love Tarsem Singh. Who directed such things as The Cell and The Fall. We talked about this.
Right, I think we did talk about this, and you told me it's like a darker Wizard of Oz kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. And Wizard of Oz itself is kind of dark.
If it weren't him, I think it wouldn't be that good. And by that, I don't mean, you know, there's anything wrong, but...
Did he adapt it
But
as
they
well?
Are... I don't know. Somebody adapted it. No, different people are writing it.
Yeah. Okay.
But the issue that I have with it is just that. That there's some stuff that... if it weren't for his visuals, wouldn't necessarily work. That kind of thing. But so far, I'm liking it. And of course, Vincent D'Onofrio is in it. Vincent D'Onofrio, one of my favorite actors, if not my favorite actor.
He's great.
I'm not sure who I like better. Sorry, Vincent D'Onofrio, if you're listening to this, I'm kidding. It's not a contest. Is what I'm saying.
Who you like better? Who else is on that list?
Well, no. That's the thing is, I don't.
Oh,
you don't know
who you like better than Vincent D'Onofrio. He's really good. In fact, I will say that he was. My favorite part of Daredevil, season one.
Oh yeah, yeah. Fisk, such a great portrayal of him.
And have you seen Daredevil season two?
Yes, I have.
All right, so Daredevil season two spoilers coming up. So Steven, if you haven't seen it, turn us off again. Steven hates it when we talk about Westworld because he hasn't been able to watch all of it.
Okay.
Speaking
of Westworld, no, I'm kidding.
So, joke. As we know, he makes a cameo appearance in like two episodes in season two of Daredevil.
Yes.
And I didn't want him to go away. I wanted him to be a regular character. As with the Punisher.
He's already said that he's not in the Defenders, apparently, which is too bad.
Well, that's a drag.
But yeah, he's really great. Like him a lot. And he does a good job. What I like about him is that he does different things in every character that he works with.
He's an actor's actor.
He's an actor's actor. Yes, yeah. Indeed. He cares about it. He, you know, teaches it. He considers it his craft.
I don't know what school of acting he subscribes to. Like, is he like a Meisner character actor?
He did state that he leaves it. You know, when he's done, he's done. Like, he doesn't have to sit with it that much. He used to have a harder time with it, but now he can just, you know, get out of character. You know, so he's. Strikes me as more of a...
He can pop in and out. He's no Daniel Day-Lewis.
Right,
exactly.
Who
made even his wife refer to him as Abraham Lincoln.
But the thing about it is that he's still... I mean, on screen, you know, he becomes a different guy. So that's good.
Yeah.
Have I mentioned to you how much he likes trucks?
Yes, you did mention that.
I think I might have mentioned this to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, it's really great because, you know, every once in a while he'll just be like, he'll just retweet a picture of a truck and go, wow, that's a really nice truck. And it, every time I see it, it just makes me happy. I don't know how to describe it. It's one of those things. Yes. I have a friend, Andy, who every once in a while will get really excited about some kind of food.
Right.
Or something. And I was like, yay.
It's also, and you know, this political climate right now that we've been in for the last couple of months, it's when you see something that's not connected to like the demise of democracy on like on social media, it's kind of refreshing and to see that, yeah, people still have likes and interests, yeah, other than worrying about everything, essentially.
Yeah, well, and I think that that's going to be, I mean, that's always going to be something, right?
Yeah.
If you're in the wasteland and you see a flower growing, you're like, hey, look at this. This is pretty cool. Unless someone stomps on it. I think that's the key, is that.
And you know, somebody out there is just going to stomp on it only because you think it's cool.
Well, and this is a point that I was making. Where we're at right now, right? And I'm going to do a both sides thing, and I'm sorry about doing a both sides thing, but I'm just going off of what I've been seeing lately.
Okay.
Where we're at right now, you got people on both sides who are doing stuff because they want to piss the other group off. It's always kind of been that way, but, and this is one of those, it doesn't matter who started it kind of things, in my opinion.
For some people it does.
But the thing is, but there are three sides now. That's the thing that's crazy about it, right?
Three sides.
So there's the,
our government the far is now left, a food pyramid.
There's sort of the far left, kind of socialist sort of group.
Yeah.
There's the left capitalist kind of rich people's left group.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the, well, okay, maybe four groups. There's the,
well, it's
the conservatives, and then there's the far right. Yeah, so yeah, really kind of four
the
groups.
Political spectrum, and it's all dependent on where you want to drop the pins on that line.
But a lot of people are doing stuff not because of what their ideals are anymore, but because they hate a different group and they want to make them angry.
Well, it's sort of, you see that happening with the Democrats, albeit lame stand against the Obama's, not Obama's, oh my God, but against Trump's Supreme Court nominee. You know, they're going to not hold hearings just because, not because they think the judge is unfit, but to get back at the Republicans doing the same thing.
And I think the main thing where this goes all the way back to is I think that one of the reasons that Trump was elected, and I'm listening, the reason I mention this is it's just from what I'm hearing, right?
Yeah.
Like in the, like the water cooler talk and stuff like that. People don't like Trump as much as they like the fact that people on the left don't like him.
Yeah.
Want to make people on the left mad. So that's too bad.
I got, I've mentioned my one conservative friend on Facebook before, and
yes,
I haven't hidden him or unfriended him because I am interested to what in what he posts. And it's still very blatantly anti-Obama. It's amazing how much.
Yeah, even though he's not president
even though he's
anymore,
still not president anymore. And he's like, you know, Iran fired a nuclear ballistic missile. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. You know, well, you know, and I'm sure his point is that.
Well, the gist of the article was that it was Obama's policies that allowed that to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
But are they talking about?
But again, it's a ballistic missile. It's not a nuclear
missile,
is fine. Oh my God. I know I'm bad with it. But the thing that I think is kind of crazy sort of weird is how much Trump is actually getting done off of his agenda. Like he's checking off the list.
Well, he's checking off the list because he's signing executive orders, right? And
yeah.
I don't know exactly the legal ramifications, but executive orders are not laws. And so he's signing all of these things, but Congress still has to pass it.
Well,
from what I understand, and I don't claim to understand a lot.
From what I get, it's a lot dependent on whether or not people follow it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like people are going along with it, and therefore, you know, I'll give you just a quick example. Let's say you and I, right, are going to Annex Theater, and you say, "I, Ben Lawrence, declare this Pants Off Tuesday. No one can wear pants in Annex Theater."
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if your law is legally binding, if it's an actual law. If people just start taking their pants off and they're like, "Yeah, okay, this is good."
Well, that's a great illustration. Not for me, Ben Lawrence, but so Annex, for those who don't know, is a democratic anarcho collective, which is how they like to categorize themselves. There is an artistic director who basically manages the company, but the company makes a majority of the artistic decisions, the biggest ones being which shows do they select.
Yep.
Now, so our current artistic director is Catherine Blake Smith. Now, she can say, okay, we're having Pants Off Tuesdays, and it all depends on who in the company want to pay attention to that. Now, she's got, she's, you know, let's say that there are pro-Catherine people and there are anti-Catherine people, right? The pro-Catherine people are going to take their pants off. But the anti-Catherine people are going to be like, "Look, we need to discuss this at our company meeting, which we're not having until Sunday. So can we wait until Sunday?" And the pro people are like, "Nope, pants off." It's kind of how I look at it.
But then at the meeting, right?
At the meeting,
where everyone will talk about it. And then depending on how it's decided, most of the people that were like, "Okay, well, I guess I'll take my pants off."
Yeah.
Or they might be like, "Okay, right, this is a bad idea. We'll put it." Normally, stuff still gets done. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And I guess, is the term sweat equity used there, or is it something that I just...
I'm sorry, is the what?
Applying to
is
it.
Is the what?
Is the term sweat equity used?
Yes, like, sweat like equity basically, is a term that is used.
One of the big things is if you actually put in the work,
yeah,
you know, you can decide, "Oh, I don't want this thing to happen," or "I do want this thing to happen." If you want the thing to happen, but you don't actually work towards it,
it's also,
you know, there's a chance it won't get done.
It's also not just for that one thing, but if you put in the work, if you work hard, right, and people know you
yep.
if you've been with the theater for, you know, 2 or 3 years and you work on every show depending on whether or not you like it, but you still help it to succeed, your voice kind of carries a little bit more during those decision meetings.
Although, you know, although some people's feelings do get hurt when they think that they're further along in that process than they actually are, for example, or...
Yeah, well, some people,
you know,
I guess some people have an inflated sense of how much equity they've sweated.
Exactly. Although I will say this, that sometimes I see people that I think have worked harder than me not get some of the opportunities I do, which, you know, obviously privilege. I feel happy that I have, you know, the right people's ears or charisma or whatever to get stuff done. But I think we also, you know, I keep forgetting, and you'd have to remind me about this sometimes, that us performing at Spin the Bottle regularly isn't something awesome that they let us do. It's also value for them.
One would hope. I mean, that's kind of an inflated sense of self, but...
But what I'm saying is that it's a symbiotic relationship.
Indeed.
It's not like the theater doesn't get anything out of it, and we.
Yeah.
But I think you will agree that we did feel like they were giving us an awesome opportunity every single month.
Yeah.
And we couldn't believe that it was happening.
Yeah, and every once in a while, I think when we felt like we were resting on our laurels and getting kind of lazy, and if it was reminded to us, hey, you know, you guys, you don't have to do this, that kind of put our butts in gear.
We were instantly, yeah, we do. Yeah, we will do this. This is great.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome. Yeah, so good.
Because that did happen.
Whatever happened to that show? Oh, that's right. I moved to a different state.
I'm doing it again in March. I have a slot in March. I'm doing a book report.
Oh,
is it about this?
No, is it from? Your other podcast or
no? What happened was I was called out for never having read nor seen the movies of Harry Potter, and so I made a deal with the most vocal proponent of me reading Harry Potter is that I will read Harry Potter.
Who is this?
This is
her
name is Robin. She's a production manager here at Annex.
Okay,
and I said. Look, I'm not going to just be bullied into reading your favorite series of books. You have to read a series of books that was important to my generation and a couple generations before. So I'll read Harry Potter if you read Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
And so in March, we're gonna present our book report. I'm going to present a book report on Harry Potter, and she's going to talk about Lord of the Rings. Now, ask me how much Harry Potter I've read. I've read three of the books. So far.
You've read three of the books so far?
Only read three of the books so far.
Well, that's not bad, though. I mean, they're big books.
Well, the first three are kind of small. They get, like, the second book, or the fourth book, is, like, the length of the first two books combined. And so...
Yeah.
She
has to read, so, you know.
What's that?
She only has three that she has to read, so, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, three big books.
The Silmarillion. You have to read the Silmarillion. No. I read the Chronicles of Narnia. I really liked those.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis is, I mean, if you're talking Christian philosophy, he's a really interesting dude.
But tell me about it.
okay, imagine if you will, right? Like you're like, this is how Christians should be, but they aren't.
Yeah.
Right?
A lot of people say this
He is like they should be. He's very thoughtful. He's very intelligent. He's very, you know...
very New Testament kind of take care of your fellow sibling fellow humans.
Yeah, and if you... Here's the thing. If I were forced to live in a place that dictated religion to me, right? He would seem like the most free-thinking liberal person I'd ever met. Does that make sense? Like, it's not. There's a lot of, I mean, because it's still, you know, has a dogma behind it and stuff.
Right.
But his thoughts about religion are not stifling. They're kind of open, and but in the same way, it's not heretical. It's he's a really interesting guy.
Nah. Well, did you like the books?
Oh yeah, I loved them. They were great.
Yeah.
I still like them.
Did you recently read them, or was this a thing you did in the, you know, like when you were a kid?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't recently read them, but there's a Sci-Fi Channel TV show called The Magicians.
Okay.
And in The Magicians, there's a series of books based kind of blatantly on The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And they're, like, central to the plot. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is the the Chronicles of Narnia. Right. That's where it comes
right.
from.
Right. And are those anagrams of biblical characters? Anagrams, not anagrams.
Anagrams?
Analogs is what I meant to say.
Analogs, in a way, yeah. Aslan is basically Jesus. But the White Queen, she's not real. I mean, it's not really the devil. She's her own thing. I mean, it's allegorical in a way.
Yeah.
But it's also very fantasy still.
Cool.
So it's kind of an interesting,
yeah. I got all thing, these, but I have all these other books on deck that I want to read, but, I feel guilty because I have to keep reading Harry Potter.
Oh, there's a book that I want to read by Matt Ruff, and I have it. It's sitting in my house, called Lovecraft Country. And it's, one of the big problematic things, I know you've talked about this on your podcast before, Lovecraft, pretty racist.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hear. I've not read any Lovecraft.
This book by Matt Ruff, explores racism and the Lovecraft mythos in a really interesting way. I say, having not read the book, but Matt Ruff is a great author. I interviewed him once. He lives in Seattle, actually.
Oh.
Or lived in Seattle, at least for a while. I'm sure he is probably still there. I would see him at PAX every once in a while.
Yeah.
And so he's probably still there.
One of the books that I have on my dresser is Grunt by Mary Kay Roach, which is... not Mary Kay, just Mary Roach. And she wrote, her first book was called Stiff, The Curious Lives of Human Cadavers.
Oh, yeah. I read
a great
book. Packing for Mars by her.
Yeah, Packing for Mars. And which is The Odd Man Out, surprisingly enough. All of her other books have one word titles.
And what's this one? Grunt, you said?
It's Grunt. It's about, the military. Or more specifically,
okay,
soldiers
yeah.
or soldiering. For the military.
Yeah.
And
well, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Speaking about the military for just a second.
Bringing it back to politics.
As you know, I was in the Air Force. I didn't do well.
I did know that.
I was honorably discharged, but I had problems, mental problems, which I am grateful for the psychologists in the military to, kind of help me out. Diagnosing me and
to identify you're crazy and get you out of there.
Yeah, and giving me some tips and things like that. Captain Percival, who probably is way more than a captain now, or maybe I'm the captain now. No, maybe also. Not even in the military anymore, now that I think about it. Gave me my diagnosis and all that. But the point that I was going to make is it's a weird time to be in the military.
Okay.
Right now. I would be like a little nervous.
It's
as to what I would be asked to do and where I would be going and all that.
Especially
stuff.
Now when our commander in chief is like, we got to get rid of those bad hombres in Mexico. And you're like, are you really going to invade Mexico? Seriously?
Well, yeah.
And will the generals follow your orders?
The one thing that I am interested in is General Maddox is an interesting guy. You know? Like... He does not seem to me. People said that he smiled while
killing.
The order was signed, but he seems a thoughtful guy.
I honestly had never heard of him before this thing.
Yeah, the Marines that I know, they knew him.
Yeah.
Obviously, I guess. And everybody liked it. I mean, he's respected. He's thought of as being a pretty together guy. and such. So it'll be interesting to see what, like, a man of integrity. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
In this situation.
That's, I mean, we've talked about sort of the checks and balances that exist in Washington and how Trump's craziness can't possibly go that far, because surely there are checks and balances, but he's stacking the deck in his favor.
Well, see, the thing about checks and balances is it all depends on what people actually do. All this stuff is built on agreement. There are laws, you know, as long as you follow them, then yeah, you know, that works. But if the people stop following the laws all of a sudden,
yeah,
it's going to be a little crazy.
A little crazy.
The thing that I would say, something that has served me well, as noted, I was discharged from the Air Force for being crazy. But something that served me well is, and this is something that they helped me out with.
And what is that?
Is not knowing or paying attention to, or how do I say it? Sorry, Ben, I just had a really weird Charlie horse thing happening, and I can't move my right foot anymore.
All right, I think our lizard overlords have detected your brain waves in that you were about to divulge
I really think that might have happened.
They've hit a switch.
That's crazy. But no, the thing that I was going to say, oh, shoot, what was it?
We're going to go through this again. So something about checks and balances. If people obey the laws, it doesn't really matter. If people don't follow the rules that are laid out, things get weird. A little crazy.
Things get weird if they don't.
It's weird.
So things get crazy.
Well, anyway, what I was going to say is that there are checks and balances, but it's not going to work anymore because he's getting rid of all the checks. Like the AG he recently fired.
This is what I was going to say is that, you know, the thing about her is she was going to leave anyway.
Yeah, she was acting AG, but still, I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was symbolic kind of on both sides as far as that goes. But the thing is, people have been saying, watch out for this. This is going to happen. And it's happening. And people are acting surprised. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. The big thing, Ben, is to keep in mind how little control you had over all of this in the first place.
I've never forgotten that.
I mean, really, we rely on the people that we elect that go to Washington to make all this stuff work.
On our behalf.
Right? So if people aren't doing it, there's not a lot that you can do. I mean, protesting is a thing.
Contacting your legislators.
Yes. Contacting your legislators is a thing. If they don't do what you tell them, well, that's another issue.
Well, see, that's
protesting the streets is a thing. If you get a beanbag to the face or whatever, that is also a thing. You know what I mean? It's like, once you get to be a certain age with certain responsibilities and things like that, being a radical street fighting man is not really, it's sort of off the table a little bit.
Right. You're saying you don't see a lot of elderly people protesting in the streets due to unfair.
Oh no, I'm saying that I'm not going to do
immigration laws
is what I'm saying.
You're not going to do it.
Me personally. Yeah. I don't see myself doing it. First of all, I hate to drive anywhere. That was one of the things I love about the JFK protest.
Right.
Someone who is a native of New Yorker pointed out this protest is so much more impressive when you think about how most people would rather cut off their own arm than ever go to JFK or whatever. Yeah. But I did see there was a march in St. Louis that was huge, and then also Seattle. Just the Westlake thing.
Yes,
was huge.
There was a protest gathering in Westlake Center, And
I've been in Westlake Center before, so I knew how huge it was.
Yeah, and we've also had our airport protests due to the immigration ban executive order. Sound Transit stopped servicing the airport on the light rail because of that.
Yep, that happened in New York too. They just shut it down. Yep. But what was it? Somebody at UW got shot also.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing too.
During a protest.
I think that was more than a week ago, but there was the current editor of Breitbart, Milos Yuda something or other. I don't really care.
Is he the editor or is he just a correspondent?
I think he's the editor. I think he's the current Steve Bannon, but I'm not quite sure.
I think he's a correspondent.
I think he's the editor.
I want to say he's a correspondent.
All right. Well, we'll both say to get it wrong. Anyway, yeah, somebody got shot in Red Square.
It wasn't in Red Square? That's kind of funny.
It wasn't Red Square.
I mean, it's not funny.
Right in front of the...
But it's a...
Funny story about...
It's not really apropos.
Funny story about Red Square. Do you want to hear an interesting tidbit about... Are you familiar with Red Square?
Sure.
At University of Washington?
Yes, I have been there before. But Red Square is a... Let me try to describe it. You tell me if I'm right. Red Square is a portion of the UW campus that is called so because it is kind of reddish with the brickwork and stonework and stuff. It's sort of in the commons area.
Yeah.
Kind of. It's a place where students could gather and play hacky sack or read or do whatever.
So
is that close?
You are very close. It's between two libraries and a lecture hall. Kane Hall is where the largest lecture halls are. It was a field, a grassy field with brick paths going between the buildings. But in the 60s, they decided to build a parking garage there. So they dug it out, put a parking garage there, like a multi-level parking garage, and then covered the top with these red bricks. And so the students called it Red Square. And the reason it is red brick is because the administrators of the school felt that it would be easier to hose down the protesters and knock them off their feet during war protests.
Wow.
True fact.
Wow.
At least that's what they told us when I went to school there. Maybe it's apocryphal, but I believe it because those bricks get really freaking slippery in the rain.
So anyway, this guy who we can say an alt-right figure, that's safe to say.
Yeah.
Alt-right figure. Was going to speak there, and there's this thing
he does
where he goes to speak to a place, speak at a place, and people picket him, and he talks about it. And that's right, he was speaking because he... Oh, and then the weird thing was that the person who shot the other person had written to him on Facebook earlier. The person who shot the guy who got shot had tweeted at this other guy, the guy who was speaking, not tweeted, sorry, written on Facebook,
yeah,
saying, hey, some guy punched me, but it's cool. Anyway, can I get my hat back? Because he stole my hat. Can you give me a signed hat? The guy never wrote back to him.
Oh, this was after the shooting?
No, this is before the shooting. So he wrote that, right?
Okay.
Which wasn't about that guy. It was about somebody else. And then he got into another altercation. So he talked about one altercation.
He sounds like a real
then
winner.
Then he got into an... Yeah, right, exactly. Then he got into another one where he said he felt threatened, and so he shot him. What I heard now is that the guy who got shot wants to meet with the guy who shot him so he could, like, talk it out and you know, find out some stuff and maybe have a meeting of the minds.
That's
like that.
Somewhat admirable. You know your enemy. Let's unite instead of divide. But still, dude, I think you're kind of misguided. The funny thing is, and it's not funny, but the same guy who was speaking at UW, Milo Y, somebody or other from Breitbart. He's speaking at a college in California. I think it was Santa Barbara. And there was another protest there, and they actually shut the speech down because of the protest.
Oh, wait, Berkeley. That was Berkeley.
Berkeley, sorry, at Berkeley, which is not surprising. And so Trump was like, he said he's going to pull Berkeley's, UC Berkeley's federal funding because they impinged upon this guy's freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Which is, there's multiple things wrong with that statement. But still, that's the world we live in, though.
Well, the interesting thing is, there's someone, how do I put this? Okay, I'll just talk in generalities. There are people who, in an office setting, will talk about politics by saying, here's a funny thing someone sent me on Facebook, which multiple things wrong with that. What are you reading Facebook at work for? Why are you announcing it to the entire group? All that.
Right.
And they said something about how everyone in California should just leave and go to Canada if they're worried about getting their feelings hurt or something. And I was listening to it, and I was just like, can you imagine what would happen if California all withheld their federal tax dollars?
Land would there would be super cheap, I'll tell you that.
Well, I mean, we, meaning the United States, right, rely on a lot of money coming from California and a lot of products coming from California and a lot of... I can understand trying to be tough with Mexico, but being tough with a state in the union, it's just crazy. Again, we talked about this already. There are a lot of military bases in California. California isn't going to get to just leave.
No.
That's number one. But number two, also, you don't want to cut them off.
Because their tax dollars supply the welfare programs that go towards the Bible Belt.
And that's a very good point. But one of the other things that I was thinking about, there's a little thing that we like to call, I don't know what the best way to, don't tread on me. That's not it. Join or die. That thing. Can you imagine?
Join or die.
Join or die. That's what they said whenever the union was getting formed, right? The idea is if the states don't get together and band together and become united, then foreign powers will be able to crush us, basically.
Oh, so it was more of a safety numbers thing as opposed to we're going to take your land, so you better join with us.
No. It wasn't join or die like a threat, like nice state. It'd be bad if something ever happened to it. It was this is for your own. I am asking you to look into your heart and your own self-interest and become part of these United States. The amount of danger that our current policies are putting us in from domestic terrorism is insane. Can you imagine, like right now, if somebody were to go up to a young, impressionable person and go, you know what sucks? The government.
Yeah.
Why don't you blow up this thing?
Yeah.
It would be, you know, the more bad stuff that happens, the easier it is to recruit people. It's a safety thing being not horrible for the United States. That's all I'm saying.
Pretty big words there, Paul Goody. Can't say that I disagree.
I know. Let's be America, why don't we? How about it? Is what I
say. How about it, folks?
We'll see. Hey, Betty.
Oh, hey. Yeah.
Okay, Ben. It's time to ask Betty. Here's my idea.
Okay.
Think of something that you don't think Betty will have heard of.
Oh, I see.
And I will ask her if she's heard of it.
Oh, geez. We've done this before. Something that I know
about. It could be a song. It could be a movie. It could be...
It could be anything.
Because if I can think of any number
anything
of...
you think I wouldn't know about.
Horror movies that...
Except school
I don't
stuff.
Think she would be...
Because that
knowledgeable
spoilers.
About. I gotta remember that, you know, you Jennifer is her mom and has probably shown her all these great horror movies.
Well, she maybe not, maybe not. Let's give it a shot.
Does she? Okay, so here's my question.
Okay, Ben wants to know.
What is?
Go ahead, Ben.
A face hugger.
What is a face hugger?
Oh, it's this weird alien thing which like attaches
See?
To your face and like.
Okay, that's what a face hugger is. Do you have another one?
How about, Ash from Evil Dead has what appliance on in
Ooh.
Place of a hand, in place of his right hand?
Okay.
What does he have instead?
I don't know if she knows this one, but I will ask her. Okay, Betty, do you know Evil Dead?
Is it a horror movie?
It is a horror movie.
Well, I mean, I've seen it in a lot of top 10 lists before, so
okay.
Kinda.
Ash from Evil Dead has something in place of his hand. What is it?
I don't know.
The answer is a chainsaw.
What?
Boom.
That's right.
I out-horror referenced
okay.
the 10-year-old. Yeah.
Chainsaw hand
ash. Oh, and also, guess what Betty and I saw on Tuesday?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind!
You saw on Tuesday, you saw a movie?
Yeah.
You saw Rogue One.
No, Betty, he didn't hear you when you yelled it. Oh, no, no, wait, Betty, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Betty, no, listen. No, I want you to describe the plot to Ben, and Ben's going to guess what the movie is.
Okay.
No, but it's Close Encounters with the Third Kind.
Did you hear that at all?
I did not.
He didn't hear it, so...
I honestly have no idea what
microphone.
Movie you're talking about.
He's listening. Okay, just think of the plot. Tell him the plot. What happened? You gotta talk to him in here. Okay, she's so mad.
Hey, Betty.
Because I'm making her do this.
Tell me the plot.
No, Betty, don't talk into that. I'm keeping this a comfortable distance away from your mouth. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so it's called Close Encounters with the Third Kind. And it's, it's about
little stinker.
These guys who are like, oh my god, there's a mountain, I don't know what it is! And this lady's child got abducted by aliens, and it's like, then they go there and things happen. With stuff like an army is trying to kill them, and then like they.
You thought
they
the army
like,
was trying to kill them. Interesting.
Oh my gosh! And then they like do a thing with the thing, and then they see like a thing, and then like they like the tone thing, and then like the spaceship just like suddenly sends out the humans, and then it gets aliens, and then like they
okay, and that was Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I do like how she started out with, okay, it's called Close Encounters of the Third Kind. that to me, if you're gonna describe it by the plot, that's the
oh so I was trying
Ben,
to think of I was trying to think of a movie in the theaters. I thought you went to go see a movie in the theater.
We did
Is Close Encounters playing
we
in the theater?
In the theater,
really?
Yep.
Well, that's fun.
Yep, at the Wildy Theater. Wildey.
It was surprisingly small.
It's a very
theater room.
Small theater room. But it's been around for 100
hey,
years
so
at
I'm
least.
I'm going to continue with the video I'm watching, so...
Okay, I'll talk to you later then, Betty. And Ben, it looks like I'm going to talk to you later
yeah.
as well.
All right. Ben. Hope you survive another week,
wait,
sir.
Wait. Betty is chasing after me. Oh, you can keep that.
Yay, I got a dollar!
Betty found a dollar.
All right.
It fell out of my pocket.
She,
all right, well...
She found
well,
it by
ben,
reaching into
always,
your pocket. As always, Paul.
Yes, keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong. All right, I'll talk
yeah,
to
yeah.
you later.
Here.
Yep. Thanks. Oh, my car keys. All right. How do I turn this off?
Oh, she gets to keep your car keys now.
No, I still have. And we aren't talking anymore.
It's no, we're done.
Over. The shows are. I'm just trying to turn this off now. I keep on turning off the wrong thing.